Let's continue on. Let's ask some questions now. Since we are saved by grace, which we are, and we are God's workmanship, which we are, all of that has to be by God's grace, correct? Could it be otherwise? All right, let's see. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus was what? Full of grace and truth, correct? So if we're created in Christ Jesus, this creation has to be a work of grace, does it not? Yes, because you're not doing it. God is doing it. And if God is doing it, it is by grace. His grace. Notice, unto good works. Now, everyone has works, don't we? What are the good works? Let's ask another question concerning works. How are we going to be judged? By our works, each one according to his works. Now, if these works are done or wrought in Christ, is that not grace? If these works lead to salvation, is that not grace? Because by grace we have been saved. But let's also see that the works now is also a process. Okay? Let's finish the verse here. Unto the good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. All right. So what we're viewing is this. The good work of salvation that God is doing in us by grace is creating in us the what? The mind of Christ. The character of Christ. That is a process. Now let's look at the process first. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Salvation is a process or work of grace which requires our participation in good works. And all of that is by grace. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Now I am declaring to you, brethren, that the same gospel that I proclaimed to you, which you also received, in which you are now standing. Emphasize the word standing. Okay? By which you are also being saved. In the Greek, that is a present tense passive, being saved. A process and work of God. If, so there are conditions to it, you are holding fast the words that I proclaim to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. All right, let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We'll see the same thing again, and then we'll come to Romans 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 1, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1. For to those who are perishing, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But to us who are being saved. Well, this is important to understand, because one of the false doctrines that is preached here in Bible land is that once saved, always saved, and nothing can take you away from Christ. Not true. being saved, present tense, passive. It is an active work by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. Now, let's come to Romans 5 here for a minute. We'll come back to Romans 5 again a little bit later because there's more to understand here. Okay? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and brethren, that is the only way you can be justified. That's through Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So you're standing in grace, or that is kind of like an umbrella of grace over us, from which comes the love of God, the mercy of God, the Spirit of God, etc. Now, let's come down here to verse 6. We'll come back to the rest of Romans 5 a little later. For even when we were without strength, at the appointed time Christ died for the ungodly. And the appointed time was the Passover day, 30 A.D. Not Easter, not any time people want to take a mass, etc. We won't get into that. We're not arguing that today. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, although perhaps someone might have the courage to even to die for a good man. But God commends his own love to us, because when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And even before we existed, he had died for us. Much more, therefore, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So salvation is, have been saved from Satan the devil, are being saved as long as we are walking and standing in the gospel, shall be saved at the resurrection of the dead. Three steps to salvation, that's the process of creation that God is using. Now, let's ask some other questions. Let's come here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Come back there. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. This also tells us more of what God is doing. And the whole process of salvation is a process of grace, which includes, as we're going to see, commandment keeping in a far, far different way than the view of the world looking at the Ten Commandments written on a slab of stone or written in the Bible for the letter of the law. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Nope. Let's go back here. Ephesians 1 is one long sentence in the Greek. And it's very difficult to separate out these thoughts because they are all added one on top of another. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. All right. Having made known to us the mystery of his own will, that is the secret of God's plan, and the secret of God's plan is manifested how? Through the Spirit of God, through his Sabbath and holy days, and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. All together. Not part of this, part of that, but all together. And made known to us. Now stop and think for a minute how great that is. Is that not an act of grace that he would make known to us his will? That he would make known to us his plan? Now, he tells us the rest of the world is blinded out there. They're blinded because of two things. One, Satan the devil. Two, they don't believe. That brings automatic blindness. Just like when anyone rebels, especially young people, against their parents, you're blinded to what they're trying to say to you because you won't listen, because you want to do what you want to do, and you won't hear it. And then many of them what? They end up what? Like the prodigal son who's out there feeding the swine, the worst thing any Jew could be assigned to do. And he came to himself. See? So having made known is the mystery of his will, the secret of the will of God. Isn't that something? There's also the mystery or secret of lawlessness, which is Satan's way that controls his world. Now notice, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. This is God's plan. God the Father and Jesus Christ are dealing directly with each one of us. That's what we need to understand. That is by grace. Everything we do is by grace, as you'll see as we go along here. That in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. We are going to inherit the kingdom of God. An inheritance means part ownership, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we might be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Notice how this all has to do with God's plan, with Christ, with grace, with mercy, with kindness, with forgiveness, with growing, with overcoming. Okay? In whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth. Jesus was what? Full of grace and truth. The gospel of your salvation, it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? What did Jesus say? The first thing he said after John the Baptist was put in prison, he came into Galilee and he said, repent and believe the gospel. Right? Yes. After believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because after believing, believing then encompasses repentance and baptism, then you receive the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So this is telling us how God is doing. What a tremendous introduction to the book of Ephesians. What an absolutely inspiring understanding that Paul gives us. For this cause, I also, after hearing of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is among you, and the love toward all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now notice, this next verse, is this not grace, an action of grace, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. Remember where we started? All shall be taught of the Father. Remember that? Shall give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Yes. That's all a part of God's way, which is through grace. And that the eyes of your mind be enlightened in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's all by the grace of God. And it also has to do with commandment keeping, because you see, commandment keeping and grace work hand in hand, because the commandment keeping that we are doing is motivated spiritually. We'll see that. Because of another act of grace that God is doing, which is part of the process of conversion, part of the process of being saved, and it all fits together in one big package. All right, let's go on. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the inner working of his mighty power? We are his workmanship. Is that not correct? And that's the inner working of his power through his Spirit in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. And all of that is grace, is it not? All of that is a gift of God, is it not? Of course it is. All right. Now let's come to Colossians, the first chapter, see how he explained it to the Colossians. Now you see what we're dealing with here, brethren, is that God is constantly teaching each one of us at different levels according to how we yield to God and the timing of our calling. Those who have been recently baptized, you're going to learn more and more and more. Those of us who have been baptized for many years are learning more and more and more and more in depth and understanding of the Word of God. But you see, the secret and the key is it's been here in the Word of God all the time. It's like the proverb said, it's the glory of God to hide something, and it's the honor of the king to discover it. And the only way we discover it is that the king, being Christ, opens our minds to see. Now, we even have a hymn there, don't we? Open my eyes that I may see. All that's part of salvation. All right. Colossians 1. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 21. Colossians 1 and verse 21. For you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's the carnal mind, isn't it? We all have works, wicked or righteous, of the world and Satan, or of God and Christ. But now has he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, by the Passover death, to present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before him. That's the goal. He's going to perfect you. I could also follow this up with a sermon on what God is doing to perfect us, which is also grace. Is it not? Yes. Notice verse 23, first word. Might want to circle that. If. Verse 23. If. Conditional. Remember this. Carnal men like to put the conditions upon God, but no one tells God what to do. And God is perfect, so you can't give him any conditions. The conditions are upon us, because we are flesh. And we have to endure to the end. So that's what he says here, verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith. Now notice, we can look out and we can see there are a lot of people we've known for years who did not follow through on verse 23. Is that not correct? They didn't understand the if. They didn't understand their part and their responsibility within the grace of God, because within the grace of God there are conditions, as it says here. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which, what? By which you are being saved. Is that not correct? Yes, we read that. Okay. Which you have heard and which was proclaimed in all the creation that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a servant. Now then, he explains something very important here. Let's come down here to verse 26. Even the mystery that has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. Not to the world, to his saints. Who are the saints? All who have the Spirit of God and love God and keep his commandments. All right? To whom God did will, did purpose to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He writes in Philippians, the second chapter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the workmanship that God is doing in us. See, brethren, once we really understand this, once we really grasp it, and would that all the ministers of God would understand this, and for them to all get off their Lord Fauntleroy high horse and include themselves in the brethren, with the brethren, to teach them and to help them. Okay? Understand this. God the Father and Jesus Christ are working in your lives. Directly. And we are to do, come back here to Acts 20 chapter, we'll just do a little side study here. Acts 20. Let's see what Paul told the elders at Ephesus. And Paul has given us the example. What did he say of himself? He said, first of all, 1 Corinthians 15, I am the least of all the apostles, because I persecuted the church. Acts 20, be turning to Acts 20. We'll get there in just a minute. Then he also said when he was in prison and in chains, and God revealed to him the things that we've been reading now, he said that he was the less than the least of all the saints. Now, does that sound like the God's only true apostle on earth? You see how far astray we've gone? All of you have left that. See? You're out of that going astray. But here is what Paul told him here. Let's pick it up here in verse 17. Acts 20 and verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, now, he knew he wasn't going to see them any longer, so he wanted to leave them a final message. You know how, from the first day that I came to Asia and all the time I was with you, I served the Lord in all humility and with many tears and temptations which came upon me from the plots of the Jews, and how I did not keep back anything that was profitable, but preached to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, earnestly testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's just the sum of the whole gospel. Verse 22, and now behold, I am bound in the Spirit and I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit fully testifies in every city, saying that bonds and tribulations await me. But I myself do not take any of these things into account, nor do I hold my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to fully testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Now, because of all that, then he gives them a warning, testimony. Verse 26, wherefore I testify to you on this day. I would like to know what day that was. It was between unleavened bread and Pentecost. I testify to you on this day that I'm pure from the blood of all. For I have not held back from preaching to you all the counsel of God. Now, here's what every elder and minister and anyone who becomes an elder or minister needs to understand as the greatest responsibility and thing to be kept in mind. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. You have to watch yourself. You have to watch your own actions. You have to teach yourself from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, not overlords. An overseer is like a coach on the sidelines. He is to get all of the players involved. Okay. Made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. See, once we understand that, then we understand we're stewards. We understand we're to teach the Word of God. We're to understand that we're not to exalt ourselves above the brethren. We're to understand that we're to teach and encourage and inspire them. See, because that's what it's all about. For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We've seen that, haven't we? Yes, indeed. And from among your own selves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So you see, this is something that we all need to realize and understand. See, the church is not a corporate organization. The church is the spiritual body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. He's called all of us so that we can all grow in grace and knowledge and develop the godly character that he wants us to have through his grace, through his love, through the faith of God. Now let's go on and see how this is done. All right? Let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, Hebrews 10. And here we're going to see a tremendous part of the grace of God. And it all has to do with the sacrifice of Christ. Has to do with Jesus, our Passover. So let's see what this grace is to do for us. All right? Verse 14, Hebrews 10. Verse 14, Hebrews 10. For by one offering, that is of himself, he has obtained eternal perfection for those who are sanctified. Now you are sanctified when you receive the Spirit of God. Okay? And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said. Now here is part of the work that God is doing in us, which is by grace. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts and I will inscribe them into their minds. That is a work of grace. So therefore, since that is a work of grace, and we are to keep the commandments of God, in the new covenant we keep the commandments of God because and through the grace of God. Far different than just trying to analyze grace and law, grace and law. But everything we do is through the grace of God. Now remember when God gave the Ten Commandments, you read there in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. And the children of Israel, they saw the fire on top of Mount Sinai. They heard the voice of God giving the commandments of God, they heard the trumpet and the thunder and the lightning and the whirlwind and everything. And they said, "Oh, Moses, don't let us hear the voice of God anymore. You speak to God and we'll hear you." And so God told Moses, well, they meant well with that. Then what else did he say? Said, "Oh, that there were a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always." They never did they? Only sometimes in the letter of the law. Now we'll see this afternoon that in keeping the commandments of God in the new covenant, it is all through the grace of God, motivated by the Spirit in our minds, and having the laws and commandments and the Word of God written in our hearts and in our minds, which is through the power of the Holy Spirit, an act of the grace of God in creating us in the image of Christ. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.